fact, I could want to see it as white. I can't, as long as I got the sunglasses on. I literally can't. That's why I tell people what you want isn't enough. I mean, Rick said before, everybody that signs up wants to be successful. Whatever town you live in, there's plenty of people that want intimate relationships and go to bed lonely. I mean, what you want is not enough. It's a nice key, but it's not enough. And so now I discover there's something called sunglasses. Rick educates me about sunglasses, and for some reason I go exploring, and my hands bump into the sunglasses on my face, and I lift them off, which only takes a second. In a second, I have a revelation, meaning something is revealed to me that I couldn't see even if I had wanted to a second before, in this case, the color white. Well, you and I have 1,000 sunglasses on, no exaggeration. We have sunglasses, or beliefs, that's what the sunglasses are, around money, abundance or scarcity. We have them around trust. We have them around commitment. We have them around, you name it, honesty. And those sunglasses affect, they make the decision. So in this book, Compassionate Samurai, I really write about, it's not about Japanese culture, it's just the samurai side is the result-producing side, the compassion side is caring about other people. And there's 10 traits in the book. It's like sunglasses around commitment, boldness, responsibility, honesty, all those kind of things. So if you get nothing else out of the call, those that are listening, hopefully you get some hope. If you've been in NECAN for a year and you're not producing the results you want, don't give up. There's nothing wrong with you as a human being, right? The problem is you have a set of sunglasses on around something that's preventing you from seeing the solution that's staring you in the face. Literally, you go to work, you can change your sunglasses in a very short period of time. That's the exciting side of this.
Wow, that's awesome. So let me ask you this. What are some of the things you'd focus on if you were somebody that had been that person that had been in for a month or a year or 2 years and weren't where they wanted to be, not only in NECAN but in anything? I would imagine these universal things that people can do to better themselves. What would you do? What are the action steps you would take, Brian? And I know this is a lot of it outlined in your book, so it may be obviously referring to the 10 traits. What are the things that you would do like yesterday if you wanted to change your circumstances as a self-employed person?
One of the things is I would go do some experiential work where you go looking for the sunglasses, because we're blind to our own sunglasses. We don't even know that we got them on. So it doesn't have to be me, but you need to go find some way. The reason I'm such a nut on experiential work in our seminars is because you can't talk somebody through a set of sunglasses. They're still going to maintain its green. So I would encourage people to do some kind of experiential work where you go exploring your beliefs. And I can go over some of the beliefs, you know, that are in the book. I'll certainly talk about those. Responsibility is a key one. Most people have what I call a victim mindset. And if I could give a couple definitions there, victim is it's being done to me, and responsible is the idea that I am at cause for my experience out of the choices I make. That's a tough pill to swallow about a lot of things. I'm at cause for my experience, okay, not the event itself, although you could go there. I'm at cause for the experience out of the choices I make. So kids go to school nowadays, and quite honestly, most of them have a victim mindset. It's up to you, the teacher, to teach me. Versus if they looked at it from responsible, it's up to me, everything would change. You have people in your team, they're out prospecting, and they'll say stuff like, well, the people just weren't ready to hear me. Well, that's a victim way of phrasing it, because it's the prospect that's not listening to you. Versus when you start coming from responsible, you start looking at, okay, what choices did I make such that I wasn't heard? You know, that might be I caught them while they were busy focused on something else. It might be how I phrase things. It might be whatever. So I like to say that all people have freedom. I talk about this in the book. That's a very unusual concept for people. I mean, I've done work all over the world, including dictatorships like Saudi Arabia. You're trying to tell me people even there have freedom? Yes, all people have freedom, because all freedom is the ability to choose. That's it. Just the ability to everybody has that ability to choose. They have the ability to choose their attitude, whether they're going to embrace these challenging times or whether they're going to run from them. You know, so everybody now. Liberty, on the other hand, liberty is the ability to do what you want to do when you want to do it, not when somebody else says you can or can't. Go where you want to go when you want to go there, not when somebody else says you can or can't. And probably most important of all, to be what you want to be when you want to be it. And liberty is the result of making the right choices. I mean, one of the things you're doing by being on this call, I think I would tell another, you're looking for keys for a distributor that's stuck, right, is not only go to some workshop, find successful people that have already done what you want to do, such as Rick, and find a way to be around them, because they are looking at it with a different set of sunglasses, and at least hanging around. I was mentored by a guy named Tom, and it was the fastest growth period in my life when I allowed myself to be mentored. But by the way, a lot of people can't be mentored because they won't submit, they won't surrender control. They still want to do it their way. So that a coach like Rick will tell them what to do, and then they go do it some other way, you know. Or they, you know. So your summit, by the way, is an experiential. If you're serious about the business, which maybe not all of you are, but if you are. Going to Summit, whatever you invest for a plane ride, car ride, hotel, you're not spending money, you're investing it, and it's one of the smartest things you can do, because there's no way you can build belief in not only the company, but in your team, than by being in a live event like that. You'll see Rick or you'll see somebody do something behind the scenes, so to speak, and you go, wow, that's the kind of people that I'm associated with. That's really cool. Doing some kind of training like that on a continual basis is a necessary thing. But a lot of people, you watch with this economy, a lot of people are going to go, ooh, I don't want to spend the money. You know, money's tight, but that's when they ought to spend on themselves. American Express did a study in over a 50-year period looking at stocks, real estate, whatever, and they found the best investment was actually in yourself. I thought that was kind of an interesting thing.
Really? That's very interesting. Let me ask this. One thing that you've said, and I think about this a lot too, is how many people are settled without being satisfied, meaning I always kind of tell people in the previews and on the call, so many people have a life. The first question we ask in our wellness preview, Brian, is I'll say, is what you're currently doing giving you the life that you want, where you have time, money, and health? And then the last question we ask is, can NECAN give you that? And then the interim is telling people what NECAN is to answer that question. I always ask people, if you don't have the life that you want, there's only two choices. You either have taken a knee and just decided that the heck with it, or you're doing 100% to change it. There's like no middle ground. First of all, would you agree there's no middle ground between having the life you want and changing it and just deciding you're not going to change it? And how that relates directly to being settled without being satisfied. Can you kind of expand on that a little bit? Because I'd love that.
Sure will, and it's a great point. It's the last chapter or next to last chapter. I call it knowledge, but it's much more than that. I say compassionate samurai are satisfied without being settled. Average people are settled without being satisfied. And if I go with what I mean by settled is, people go, oh, I make a good, and by the way, you can find this happen even within NECAN. Somebody can be making $100,000 a year, and they get settled. They go, oh, this is really great income. This is good income. And they settle for that rather than going for something spectacular. Or, you know, they make enough money that and there's nothing wrong with this. I mean, you can make $500 a month in NECAN, and that makes your car payment or something like that. That helps your lifestyle. But if you just get settled, especially once your life becomes about contribution, since there's always people to assist, you can never be settled. You're always going for it. Now, the flip side is satisfied. A lot of people have the only way they can get unsettled is like to be dissatisfied. And if you think about that as a set of sunglasses, if you wire your brain such that the only way you could be motivated is to be dissatisfied, now you're in a box where to be motivated, you constantly have to be dissatisfied. Well, that's you're never enjoying life. So people really have themselves in a box with that kind of, and many, many people are, you know, I like to tell people, look, you don't have to have a broke marriage to want it to be better. You don't have to be broke financially to want to be better. But a lot of people are like that. They're like, oh, I don't need to grow. I'm fine the way I am. You are fine. And that's part of getting clear on who you are, and the satisfaction is not, what is this? There's so much to this. There's, language is a problem. There's a feeling you have when you buy a new car. A lot of people think that is satisfaction. But if you track what do car dealers do, you buy a new car, 6 months later they're sending you a notice about buying another new car, and the feeling that you get out of accomplishment goes away. It goes away relatively quickly. Satisfaction, on the other hand, is not that feeling. I call that more a gratification thing of achievement. But satisfaction is when you are in alignment with your purpose. And when you work at figuring out what your purpose is in life, then position your NECAN business to assist you in fulfilling that, now you're going to be satisfied no matter what stage you're in your NECAN business. It's not about a pin level or an amount of money or anything else. And you'll be much better at doing NECAN because it's in alignment with your purpose. I don't know how to explain that very,
yeah, sure.
That very well, but
yeah, you did actually. This is kind of a question I put a lot of thought into, and hearing it from you, because you see people in other industries as well. People think when they think success, oh, you've got to have a PhD, you've got to be handsome, you've got to be well spoken. You know, it's easy for you to prospect. You're a motivational speaker type. You know, you hear that stuff from people all the time. You see people in multiple industries that succeed. Is there a certain type of person that succeeds, meaning how they look or what they've done in the past, or is it more based on a fire in the belly? In other words, is the commonality for success looks, talent, and natural ability, or is the commonality for success an internal drive that turns average into,
yes,
super?
No, it's that internal drive. It's the heart. And interestingly enough, there are plenty of people with degrees that are going to get crushed in the current economic times, which I believe are going to be challenging for several years. I think we've dug ourselves a pretty good hole. But other people, go back to the Depression. There were plenty of people that rose above that, became millionaires. In fact, the classic book, Think and Grow Rich, came out in the middle of the Depression. You know? So it's the character. What's in your heart is, I'm not saying the other things don't matter, but what's in the heart outweighs it. What's in the heart will beat the conscious mind 99 times out of 100 times. You can find somebody that's not. In fact, in direct sales network marketing, many times being gifted is a hindrance because it then makes it hard to duplicate. When you all of a sudden do a presentation and you're not that slick, but you follow the formula that Nikan's given, or you use the webcast or whatever, then people go, oh, well, gosh, I can get my friends to look at a webcast. I don't have to be a... So sometimes being gifted is a hindrance in making it all work. And I go for the heart. When I hire people, I am most concerned with what they got in the heart. I don't care what kind of speaking skills they got. I don't care. I can teach all that stuff. But the heart is much harder to develop.
So with obstacles, there's a lot of people on this call that have, you know, sicknesses in their family or financial troubles or genuine tragedies, or they work a lot of hours. You know, there's a lot of different circumstances, and it's been my experience that, you know, I've got people in my group, Brian, that have three kids, work three jobs, and they build a successful business. I've got people that have three kids, three jobs, and tell me they can't.
Yep.
How do you get the mindset right when you see an obstacle? And I was blessed to learn this from the Green Machine, like you probably did. When you see an obstacle and you're in business for yourself, is there a difference between a reason and an excuse? And how do you get your mind right to overcome it instead of let it stop you?
Yeah, all reasons are excuses in my book. you know, that I like to say trying is lying. You know, anytime somebody tells you to try, write it off. They're probably not going to do it. It's a con game. All they're going to do is they'll give it effort, but they've already built in a back door versus I'm not going to promote this guy because he was not a good individual, but Cortez came to the Americas many years ago and lands, and he takes, I think he had about 100 guys is all he had, and takes the people ashore, climbs a little hill, turns them around, says, what do you see down there? And they go, oh, a bunch of fires. And he goes, right, those are our boats. I just burned them. He says, now I'm going to tell you, our intelligence tells us that we're outnumbered about 100,000 to 1. You're going to live or you're going to die. And it's no accident that we speak Spanish down there. What happened was he got the people committed beyond any reason or excuse. And there was a company, I won't mention their name, that hired me to do their keynote for 100, just their 100 top income leaders. And they signed up, gave me a non-refundable deposit, blah, blah, blah. This is the year 2001. And then, of course, 9/11 happened, and the conference was scheduled for, like, November. And so they called me up after 9/11, and they said, Brian, we want our money back. And we realized it's non-refundable, but 5 or 6 of our 100 people refused to fly because of 9/11. And basically, I said, look, I don't care about the money, but you're insane. And I actually used those words, which was probably a mistake, not a good communication skill. But I said, because if you cancel your conference, forget me, if you cancel your conference due to that, you're gonna infect your company with a mindset, set of sunglasses, that circumstances rule, that circumstances triumph. And at the key level for your 100 leaders, it was a tragedy like 9/11. But that mindset will filter down to your distributors where they won't prospect because they have a cold or because their grandmother came to town. It'll just be a different circumstance. Well, I didn't communicate very well, and they canceled the conference. And 6 months later, the company was investigated by the FTC for – they had like ephedrine in one of their weight loss products. And within a couple months, they were out of business. Well, I maintain today – it wasn't that they were investigated with ephedrine. All that was a circumstance. They could have solved that, but it already infected all their people with a mindset that circumstances rule. So I look at my own life. In my 20s, I was engaged to be married, and 3 days before the marriage, the gal split on me. I've been bankrupt. I had a guy that I taught to do my business turn around and try and steal my business from me. I mean, I lost $500,000 in a made-up lawsuit one time for somebody that just saw I had money, and I was naive. I didn't carry insurance at the time. I thought, gosh, why carry insurance? I'm a good guy. And so they faked a medical injury. And so circumstances happen. I don't care who you are. Vince Lombardi, a football coach when I was a kid, he used to pull his players in the locker room and he'd say, hey, gang, we're going to play a football game. Come back in a couple hours, and you can have one of two things, reasons or results. Which is it going to be? And I submit it's no accident that he got Super Bowl champions. I mean, you know, back in that day, this guy Fuzzy Thurston that played with a detached retina. I don't say that that's the smartest thing in the world to do, but guess what? He was so committed to results that the circumstances no longer mattered. So, that's if you can get that in your team where they stop giving reasons for anything. In the book, I talk about a West Point thing, and I'll shut up on this. You can ask some different questions. But the first lesson they taught us, this was within 5 minutes of arriving there. You stood in front of a person. They told you to drop your bags. They had you do that for 5, 10 times. And that was the whole lesson in itself. But then they said, here's 4 answers. These are the only 4 answers you ever get to say. Yes, sir. No, sir. No excuse, sir. And, sir, I do not understand. So if you were late to class, and let's say you stopped and somebody had a heart attack and you saved their life and then went to class, but that made you late, and they asked, why were you late? You did not get to say, I stopped to save a human being's life. It was the right decision to do to save the life, but all you got to say was, no excuse, sir. And that may sound harsh to some of you that haven't had military experience, but you'd have to move in there. Don't have an expectation of yourself that it's like, do I still go victim to circumstances? Absolutely. I wouldn't be honest with you. But the circumstances that interrupt me now are at way higher level than it used to be. I mean, when I lost $500,000, I actually made that back and more within about an 18-month period of time. And it was like I used to box. It was like, okay, you gave me your best shot, but you can knock me down, but I'm still going to win this thing, you know.
Does being aware of when you have a circumstance that would have stopped you before, doesn't just being aware of it make you realize that don't let it stop you? Doesn't just that flag coming up help you, Brian, once you're aware that that's what you're doing?
Yep, and it becomes, with me anyway, it becomes an ego thing. It's like I had an incident happen, the first TaylorMade suit I ever got years ago, I was in San Diego, first day I had it on, I pulled a drawer out and ripped a hole in the trousers, basically ruined the suit because you can't reweave it or whatever, it was done. And I had spent what to me was a lot of money at that time. And I remember I was angry. I was furious. And all of a sudden I caught myself, having done some of the training. And I went, wait a second. Either I'm going to determine my attitude or that broken thread is. And I refuse to get beat by a broken piece of thread. And it sounds silly, but if you become aware that circumstances are what's up, and you do have to change. It's like a ship. You decide you're going to England in a ship, and a storm comes up, and you may have to change the way you have the sails position, but you don't change your destination.
Awesome. Let me ask you this, because I want to see if anybody has any questions out there, and I encourage you guys to ask, because it's a great opportunity here. I'm a big believer that everybody should read this book and read it like Pretty Ricky Tick, get on top of it. What's the best way for them to get a hold of your book, Brian, and for them to get it in their hands? What would you do if you were them to get a hold of it?
I'd go to, you can buy it in any bookstore, but I would go to our website. Our website is Klemmer, that's my last name, it's spelled with a K, KLEMMER.com. If you go to Klemmer.com, and if you click on the bookstore, once you click on our bookstore, there'll be a promo code. And if you type Pathfinders in there, there'll be a special promo. The book in the bookstore is $25. This promo, I think I made it up just the other day, and it's like the book, a two-hour DVD on the book, a ticket for a live event or a webinar on a concept, problem-solving concepts we do. There's about three or four items you get for the price of the book. It's like for $29. So that's probably the easiest way. And if you already have the book, one other thing you could do is go to the bookstore or go to the website, and in the bottom left there's a free offer deal. One of my other books called Eating the Elephant One Bite at a Time is 52 Leadership Lessons, and you can get that. Each lesson is like 2-3 pages around a concept, a story that illustrates it, and an action item for the week. And that's a way of kind of repetitively, somebody earlier in the call was talking about repetition, repetitively getting some personal growth stuff for free. And and that's available also on the website. So Klemmer.com. Or go to Amazon if you felt like it, but you're going to pay more, and go to a bookstore, Barnes & Noble, one of those things.
All right, let me say this real quick, though. I love for question. I had someone ask me the other day, hey, are we supposed to do this training? Are we supposed to read the book? Here's my take on this, guys. My job as your upline is to connect you with the best training and materials and help you build your NeedGen business. In order for that business to be successful, you've got to come to the business game ready. In other words, I can help you go silver if you're ready to go silver. Does that make sense, you guys, what I'm trying to say?
Yes, it does.
It's in this business, when you're all self-employed, it's your job to get yourself game ready and bring your A game. Now, let me tell you, our organization will leave nobody behind. And when you read our slogan, leave nobody behind, what that means is anybody here that gives 100%. Look, I'm going to tell you guys flat out, you give 100%, you're going to make it in this business. We will never quit on you. We'll never get up on you. And, in fact, you're going to make a heck of a lot of money. But if you guys can get your A game ready and then step into what we're teaching you, your business is going to explode. Like if I was, up with Carrie and Rhonda in Chicago or down with Aurora and Corpus and I'm launching my business and I'm on this call, first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to say I'm not trying to build NeedGen. I'm going to build it. some people come with that natural, innate, you know, hey, I've kind of got that down. I've got a pretty good compass on me pointing north, and some people need more help with it. The reason I'm putting you guys in contact with Clemmer & Associates is for those of you that need help with that, here's some help. If you just want to read the book, read the book. If you want to take the seminars, take the seminars. My opinion on it is you do what you need, and Brian Clemmer & Associates offers something that can help you if and when you need it. And I also believe, and my wife and I had a long discussion, Paige and I had a long talk about this, that everybody can benefit from learning from people that know how to get the best. Tiger Woods is the first one on the golf course in the morning. I went to an NBA game years ago with Michael Jordan, and this was by far the best player in the league. Anybody want to take a guess who the first guy in the building shooting free throws was?
Michael Jordan.
He was there at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Everybody else wasn't even at the gym yet, and he's in there shooting a couple hundred free throws. That's why he's Michael Jordan. You know, Larry Bird would go out and shoot for hours before and sometimes after the game. That's what makes him win. So the bottom line here, guys, is we're going to give you all the training and tools to get up and running. It's your guys' job to harness your own people power. In college sports, for example, it's the coach's job to prepare the team. In professional sports, it's the team's job to be prepared so the coach can coach. You guys are self-employed. You guys are building a multi-million dollar business. Frankly, it's your job to get yourself ready, and this is the kind of stuff that can do it. And it's my job to help get you in contact with the resources that can do it and then provide you with the appropriate tools. So, Brian, that's kind of what I'm thinking, and that's why I wanted to put you in contact with everybody, because you're good at harnessing people power.
You know, you had a great lesson in there, too, when you're talking about Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods. I just read a book the other day. I'm trying to remember what one it was, and I wish I could quote the exact statistic. But they did a study of different things, and one was like music. And they said basically, I'm going to paraphrase, if I'm a little off of my numbers, I apologize, but the essence of it was the difference between a star opera person and then the next level down was 15,000 hours of practice. The difference between first chair violin and second chair violin was X number. They actually had it down to all the firsts flat out practiced more than everybody else. I just thought that that was, and you know, so that's good for everybody on the call. How much do you practice?
It is. And in our business, you know, when you guys are looking at that Pathfinders.biz page, for example, if I was new in the business, if I was brand new building the business, the first place I would go is I would go to the business launch page. I would read everything I need to do to duplicate myself. It's not about me ordering products. It's about me learning how to build an organization. I would plug into the events. I would get on the calls. I would start learning how to prospect. If I go prospect and don't get a good result, I'm going to find out why. I'm going to constantly be in friction with what I do to produce a better result. So that's that practice Brian's talking about here. Let me ask this. Do you mind if we'll see, questions are kind of funny on call sometimes, Brian, but do you mind if we take a couple?
I'd love it. That way I know it's relevant to what's going on.
I think it is. Anybody have any questions, thoughts, or comments for Mr. Clemmer here? It's a wonderful opportunity, guys. Does everybody speak at once?
Hi, Brian. This is Brock.
Hi there.
Thank you so much for being on the call. I found something that I'm having a difficult time with, and because there's so many other people on the call, hopefully this will help somebody else as well, that in my business I'm finding that my emotions are getting in the way of my business.
That can happen. Emotions are not bad. You don't want to go all the way to the other side and throw emotions out and be an ice machine, or at least not my experience, because emotions are the fuel, the power, driving a car. You know, they're the fire, they're the passion. So you need the emotions, but you need to master the emotions, not have the emotions master you. It's kind of like being in control of fire rather than have fire burn you up. So there are a lot of mastering your emotions is a hugely important skill, if you will. And I'll throw out three or four different keys. I mean, I started life over when I was 45. You know, I for a variety of things, I walked away, my mentor was killed, a whole bunch of stuff. Anyway, I started financially, from scratch again at age 45. And one of the things I had to do was master the emotion of, gosh, this isn't fair. You know, I can tell you a slew of other people that were mentored by the same guy as me that today are not successful. They had all the same like training like Rick and them, but they got caught up in the emotion of it not being fair. I'll give you another example in a technique off of it. It may sound kind of funny, but I met a guy when I was through my mentor in the 1970s named Herbert Harita. He was the largest real estate developer in Hawaii at the time, and when I met him, he was $140 million in debt.
Oh.
Now, that could mess with your attitude. And guess what? It did mess with this guy's attitude. And what he used to do was, he would walk into his office, he would close the door, and he would do what he called the silent cheer. Now, imagine, this was an Oriental gentleman in his 60s, 50s anyway at that time, and he would throw an arm up in the air like the old Toyota commercial, and it'd mouth out like, "I'm excited." It'd jump up in the air like this. Ridiculous. No sound coming out. And then after jumping up and down, kind of yelling silently, "I'm excited," he would open up his door and go meet with the executives. And fortunately, I learned this from somebody. And by the way, this guy Herbert, in 4 years, paid everybody off, nobody lost their money, and was out of debt. He was a master of his emotions. Now, I want to tell you something. When you change your behavior, you instantly change how you feel. You can demonstrate that with yourself. Take a pulse on yourself right now, and when the call's done, you know, try that. Jump up and down, yell. You can yell out loud. Shake up everybody in the house. "I'm excited," two or three times, and you know what? You will be more excited. So sometimes you have an argument with a spouse, and now you're going to pick up the phone and prospect. You better do a behavioral thing like this, as silly as it is, because if you prospect while you're angry, I don't care what technique you use, you are not going to do a good job. Subjectively, people will feel it, and they're not attracted to that. They're not going to get in your business. So if you ever want to change how you feel, change your behavior, what you're doing. But there's a problem. It won't last. And the reason is that there's a whole module like doing this in the seminars, but if you think of an M&M, you ever eat these M&Ms with the nuts in the middle? Outside of the M&M is the color, then comes white candy, then comes chocolate, then comes the nut. Well, the outside of the M&M is your behavior. Then the white candy is like your feelings. Then the chocolate is your subconscious thinking, the sunglasses we were talking about, and then you're the nut in the middle. And just like in that candy, all those are glued together. You're changing from the outside in, changing behavior will instantly change your feelings, but it won't last. It's very short-lived. However, what's harder but long-lasting is changing the inside out. When you change your subconscious thinking, because that's running our life most of the time, that will change your feelings on a long-term basis. But that's a harder play, but it is more lasting. Just because something doesn't last doesn't mean it's not useful. In the operating room, sometimes you just have to stop the bleeding. You know, it doesn't save the person's life, but you got to stop the bleeding first. So do you mind sharing with me what kind of feelings have affected your behavior?
No, I don't mind. I'm finding that I take personally positive correction. It can be in a good way. It can be from my upline trying to help me to grow. And sometimes I get uncontrollable crying. I can't stop.
Okay.
I feel like I'm failing them or myself or everybody that's
beautiful.
Involved.
And by the way, I appreciate your honesty and vulnerability. A lot of people don't have that. That is going to serve you very well. People will follow you because of that vulnerability. So, and I understand what you're saying. In one of our more advanced seminars, we actually work on this because feedback is critical if you're going to improve. And so, but most people get caught up in exactly what you're talking about, the giving and the receiving of feedback. So there's a different book I have called When Good Intentions Run Smack Into Reality. that I'm going to recommend to you, and it really has to deal with who are you.
Okay.
Because if you go back to that M&M analogy, who you are has nothing to do with your results, but most people believe it does. So if they're not having a high income or they get rejected when they're prospecting, they internalize that. In the Compassionate Samurai, I go into this a little bit in one of the chapters, but the other book, Good Intentions and Smacking Reality, is, I think, a bigger, better take on it.
Okay.
If you get it, like, you're not the outer coating. You're not, like, if you think of another way, if I took my shirt off and stomped on it, doesn't hurt me, because I'm not the shirt.
That's right.
And so through some things you can get that you're not your behavior, you're not your feelings, and you're not even your subconscious thinking. When you separate that you're not those things, that is hugely... Now, by the way, for some people it's scary even to explore who am I, because they go, wow, well, if I'm not all that, what am I? I'm nothing. You know, no, you're not nothing. But the first step would be getting clear that when somebody gives you feedback, half the time it says more about the giver of the feedback than it does... It doesn't mean it's true. In other words, if I'm flying an airplane, think of feedback this way. If I'm flying an airplane and the altimeter tells me I'm at 10,000 feet, that's not truth. The altimeter could be wrong. Right? So feedback isn't true. Just because, you know, my child tells me, Dad, I don't feel loved by you, that doesn't mean I don't love my child. But if I'm a leader, I would listen to that and I'd go, that's interesting. I love him. He doesn't feel loved. How do I communicate better so that he feels loved? Because I care about my kids. So anyway, I don't want to babble too much on this, but that separating yourself from your results will be huge. It will allow you to be bulletproof when you prospect. It will allow you to shake off the ups and downs of any business. It will it'll do many things for you. So does that give you at least a direction to explore in?
I think so. When you just said that I need to separate myself from the results because the results I'm getting are not what I wanted, and that tends to send my emotions roller coasting. So I think if I can separate my from the results, and I'll go and get that book and start there, that will help me immensely.
You got it. And then the other key out of the conversation here is when you're feeling a way you don't want to feel, do some kind of behavior. There's also like what I call triggers. Like you get a piece of music that's very inspiring for you. You know, it just puts you in the right mood. Well,
okay.
Use that. I mean, don't be proactive. If you were to walk into my house, people used to laugh at me. I have signs on my ceiling. When I wake up in the morning, I get a sign above my bed that says, "He who attempts the impossible has little competition." It's a trigger that when I wake up, I'm slow. I'm like a locomotive. My wife wakes up very early in the morning, jumps out of bed with a great attitude. Not me. Sorry. I'm just it's never been that way. But that means the first trigger that's hit me is, okay, he who attempts the impossible is a little competition. What impossible thing am I going to take on today? It just triggers me in a certain way. So put a sign in your car, I tell my feelings how to feel, you know, something like that.
Okay.
And get a song or do a behavior. So those will be some short-term solutions as you explore kind of who you are. That's great. Thanks for asking the question.
Thank you so very much.
You know something else, Brian, as I'm listening to her too, I'm thinking, you know, Laura, when you're building your business, you've got people around you that care about you, and sometimes they are gauges. If you're going 75 miles an hour down the highway and you look at the speedometer, it's giving you accurate information so you know when you're violating the law. Does that make sense? It's
yeah.
Not saying you're bad for speeding. It just tells
yeah.
you that you're it. So if your upline is saying to you, hey, Laura, you know, maybe you're saying too much or too little, they're not saying it because they're saying you're a terrible driver, so to speak. It's just trying to relay accurate information like a gauge so that you can make the corrective measures so that your car won't go off the curb. Does that make sense?
I'll throw one more idea to a leader really doesn't give a rip how they feel. When you decide you're going to prospect, how you feel no longer matters. You decide you're going to a certain pin level, how you feel doesn't matter. If you let your feelings determine your behavior, you're going to be a basket case the rest of your life. Now, that takes some training and some development, but, hey, there are days that I don't feel like going to work, but that doesn't determine. There are days I didn't feel like studying. There's days, you know, to a leader, so what? It's irrelevant. You know,
right.
It really is.
Let me ask you this real quick. We're running short on time. Is life fair?
No. I'm going to qualify that. From our human lead perspective, and I don't want to step on toes. I imagine on a call like this, you have people of all different beliefs and all that.
Go ahead and step on it.
I happen to be a born-again Christian, but I'm writing a book right now, My Fight with God, and then in parentheses, he won, so did I. And a lot of what I address is life is not fair. There's look at one of the football games today. There was a pass interference that should have been called, blatant, when you looked at the stuff, and it wasn't. But guess what? So from the humanly perspective, it's not fair. From a higher level beyond what I have ability to see, from God's perspective, it could be very fair. But I'm not at that level. So my job is to do the best I can, despite all the unfairness. How's that?
That's awesome.
Very good.
Awesome. Anybody else have any other questions or thoughts before we get going?
Can you repeat the name of the book, please?
When Good Intentions Run Smack Into Reality. It's basically 10 ways to get unstuck. Everybody has a good idea. They're all excited about me can or something else, and then all of a sudden they get stuck, or they're excited in a marriage, and then all of a sudden the other person has an affair, or they're all excited about, you know, whatever, and they get discouraged. So it's 10 different ways to get unstuck. When Good Intentions Run Smack Into Reality.
Thank you.
Great. Yeah, awesome. Klemmer.com, KLEMMER.com.
Anybody else have any other final thoughts or comments?
Yeah, I had one quick question. This is Grace. So I am on the hunt for my true why. The why, I really want to knock this business out of the park. You know, I have a lot of intellectual stuff going on around with that. Do you have any recommendations for us to really connect with our heart's desire on that?
I do a 6-day workshop on that, but okay. Quick things, because we're probably out of time in 2 minutes. I'd go, number one, look at what you're very talented at, gifted at, if you will, because that's like a signpost. It doesn't say that's your purpose, but that's like a signpost. I would recommend you take some alone time. No spouse, no kids. Go out into nature by yourself. And, again, I don't want to step on toes, but communicate with God or whatever you know. Purpose is not something you get to create, my viewpoint. Purpose is something that is revealed. You are born with a purpose. Your job is to reveal it. There's also some questions you can ask yourself, you know. Where did I come from? What do I think is my destiny? What's my potential that will help with that? The last thing I'll say, because I want to respect your time on this call, is purpose is not attainable. Purpose is like direction. Going east, you can go east forever. Going to Chicago is an objective. So you either make it to Chicago or you don't, but you can go east forever. So when you, as you do reveal your purpose, the beauty of this is now you're going to see, when you do purpose, then you set objectives, and then you set daily activities that you're going to do, and now all three of those line up and you have what I call integrity. Most people do the reverse. They're thinking their activities, what they got to do. I got to make these 10 prospecting calls. I got to coach these two downline. I got to do this as the husband. Those are activities. Very few people even have objectives. When are you going to make ambassador? Well, when I meet these qualifications. No, that's not an objective. You know, so very few people have objectives. Now the problem is, if you only have objectives and you don't know your why, eventually you burn out. Even though you'll achieve goals. You'll make $50,000, $100,000, $200,000 a year, but then you'll burn out because you don't know why. So do stay on the path. of having your purpose revealed to you, it will make you a much better Nican player, if you will, because now all you, if you know your purpose, then when you're making the prospecting call, even when they say no, you can still figure a way to make that call fit within the purpose. That's really in the 10th chapter of Compassionate Samurai. With that, I you know, I do want to respect your time, so I want to kick it back to Rick and say thanks for having me on the call. I look forward to spending time with you personally and getting to know you better, and you're all doing good work. Keep it up.
Awesome, Brian. I'm sure I'll talk to you here in the next few days. I appreciate your time. It has been an honor to have you, and thanks for pitching in to help these folks go out. And it's really not even about helping them. It's about helping them help other people, and thank you for doing this tonight, Brian. It's a real honor to have you.
You know what I'll do, too? If you want, I'll send you some product, and maybe you can use it as giveaway gifts on some of your calls when you, because I know you're big on accountability, so people that succeed or something like that, I'll just send you some stuff and give it away any way you'd like to give it away. I trust your judgment.
That's awesome. Thank you, my friend. I really appreciate that. I'll give you a holler here this week, too.
God bless. Rock and roll.
All right, man. Thank you. Didn't Brian do a great job, everybody?
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, Brian.
Thank
awesome.
You.
Awesome. Well, let's get everybody going. I've got a giant barbecue pulled pork feast waiting
for me
goodness. When I walk downstairs. It's going to be the mother of all evenings. I can't wait. Next week, we're going to have a great call. We're going to be talking about loading up and coiling for where we are halfway through Ignite 6. Come back the week after that. We will be talking about the wellness preview and how to utilize it. Everybody, too, make sure. And next week, too, we're going to talk about Facebook, too, because that is a really powerful tool to use with the networking, all sorts of great things that we can do on that to help you guys connect with each other. If we're professional networkers, we want to connect every way possible. And, guys, I'm telling you, since Paige has set that up, because I really didn't know a lot about it, I cannot tell you the web of people that's connecting not only with her but with us and with you guys. It's such a powerful tool. It's easy to use, easy to set up, and it is a silver-tipped arrow. So we'll talk about that next week as well as business launching into the new quarter. Week after that will be the preview, and then, of course, we'll be getting ready for the final details in the Pathfinder Summit. So, guys, we are busier than the proverbial one-armed paper hangers. You guys ready to go out and finish the month out strong? Everybody on this team will. Hey, everybody on this team will qualify this month. You guys all want to commit to that as a team? Can you do it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Let's have 100% qualification. Let's move well beyond. And by the end of this year, everybody listening to this call will be living the life of their dreams. That journey starts right now. If you're not beginning it, everything is possible starting tomorrow. The best thing about Nican is everything is possible. You know, tomorrow you go out, you launch your business. The greatest thing about Nican is how forgiving it is. If you haven't done enough up to this point, tomorrow you can launch your business. If you're brand new, tomorrow's a new day, and we will give you the tools and the training and the firepower to bring it home. I am committed to building not only a great Nican team, but the kind of place that other people will look at and say, gee whiz, those are the kind of people and the kind of team I want to be a part of. And guys, I think the list is pretty short of people trying to do that these days. And you're needed. So no matter who you are, God does not call those who are equipped. He equips those who are called. So know that whoever you are, you're enough. Whatever your dream is, let's make it happen. And let's go out and serve other people. Okay, guys? You guys ready for a great week?
Yes.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, well, you guys get a hoorah tonight. Have a wonderful week. Bless you all, and thanks for being on the call. Bye, guys.
Thank you, Rick.